The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Everybody deep, and it's fielded on the far sideline. It's Blackwell, a little bit of trickery in the special teams game, and Blackwell is going to take it all the way for a Chicago touchdown. And the motion man, Jaden Reed, gets the carry. And Reed fumbles the football, scooped up by Jonathan Owens. And Owens takes it inside the Green Bay 20.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And Jacobs, heavy on the back. They've got to overcome first and 20. It's DJ Moore with a catch. He fumbles the football, and it's recovered by Green Bay. Good snap. Good hold. The kick on the way by Santos, and it is good. The Bears' losing streak comes to an end on the final play the regular season.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They making plans. We sit and count our chest.
So bleeping mad. Irritated, frustrated, annoyed. I don't care that the Green Bay Packers lost to the Chicago Bears yesterday in Week 18. Don't care. Doesn't really bother me that much that they lost to the Bears. You want to know what is driving me absolutely insane this morning, Gabe? You want to know what has just got under my skin and is just like festering this morning like a cold sore in the winter? You want to know what it is?
That the Packers lost to the Bears?
No! How they lost to the Bears.
I mean, losing to the Bears is losing to the Bears.
Sure, but like blind squirrel and whatnot.
No.
If the Packers looked good at all yesterday, Gabe, if there was any glimmer of, oh boy, this is going to be a tough out. This is going to be a tough team in the postseason. This is a team, as pundits said weeks ago, no one wants to see on the postseason schedule. No one wants to run into on the way to the Lombardi Trophy. Then I'd be fine. I'd be like, yeah, well, whatever. Who cares? Turn the page. It's on to the postseason. But man, don't the Green Bay Packers look good? Don't they look strong? Aren't they firing on all cylinders? Aren't they clicking? Don't they look like one of the top teams in the NFC? And the answer emphatically after yesterday is no, Chew. They don't. They don't like look like a top team at all. There was nothing they did yesterday. There was no redeeming quality about yesterday's game.
That looked like a game where they were playing for nothing, kind of like Philly was. How bad would it have been if Washington lost? And then you're going to the Rams.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
That would have been a real gut punch. The only thing I think that's tempering the anger right now is the fact that Washington won, and you look back and say at the end of the day it really didn't matter. But even in the middle of the game, because I was watching Washington-Dallas as well, and Dallas was kind of dominating that game, it just looked like the game meant nothing and they didn't want to play, which is weird. Because you played like crap the week before. You're playing at home. Playoffs are right around the corner. It was frustrating. Very frustrating.
And I think it'd be one thing if like Malik Willis played the whole game and the Packers decided to play their backups, but they played all their starters the entire time on defense. Yes, they decided to sit Josh Jacobs after he scored the touchdown, then Malik comes in after the Jordan injury. But it's not like Jordan Love and the offense outside of Josh Jacobs did anything before that injury.
Correct.
Anyway.
Right. And you take one other element of it, guys. You took away this narrative, this belief, this idea that Malik Willis can win you games. Not saying he can't win some games, but part of it was, even if Jordan Love gets injured, even if you don't have Jordan Love, you've got Malik Willis, and he is capable of ushering the team, moving the offense, and yesterday that went out the window as well. yesterday, that idea that he could go out there and just maintain status quo and could get you the dub, that went out the window as well. So I chalk this up to shouldn't have played. It would have almost been better
shouldn't
to forfeit
have played anybody?
The game. No, I'm just saying. I mean, obviously, I don't believe that. I'm just saying, how do you come out of a game like that, too, with not a single redeeming quality? Your quarterback got hurt. Your wide receiver got hurt, likely lost for the year, if what we're hearing is accurate. And we'll talk about that as the show goes on this morning. What was the point? Matt LaFleur said he was starting those guys because they played like caca. Now, LaFleur would never say that, but I'm paraphrasing. The week before. So where's your sense of pride? Where's this idea of, like, you're right, we did look like boo-boo the week before. We need to show the league, we need to show ourselves that we can hang with the best teams. And there was nothing I saw yesterday, Chu. Maybe you can help me get inside the head of an athlete, get inside the head of a Week 18 playoff-bound team whose seeding ultimately didn't matter. Maybe you can help me understand that. But, oh, man, the frustration this morning for me, and I'm guessing for other fans, unless you're the people out there who are, like, going, it didn't matter, they're the Bears, it doesn't matter, I'm not going to prioritize rivalries over playoff runs. I made the joke yesterday on Twitter, this isn't Columbus, you know? It's not Columbus, Ohio, where we care more about beating Michigan than we do about a potential playoff run slash national championship. But even so, Chu, there was nothing that I saw yesterday that makes me feel like this team can make a deep playoff run.
No.
I'm scared they're going to get absolutely boat raced by the Philadelphia Eagles. Curb stompage in Philly this weekend.
I was surprised the line was only 4.5. I thought it'd be more like 6. But yesterday, there are probably some players that are like, we can't beat the top teams in the NFC. I don't think it's a switch. You know what I mean by you guys? We hear about, oh, the Bucks can flip a switch and then play.
But, I mean, that's a veteran team, Chew. I mean, this is the youngest team in the league, which is why I think, the switch is so hard to figure out anyway. But when you're the youngest team in the league, you have no idea what the switch is.
No, you don't. And then you lost, well, for this year, it seems that Christian Watson is done. You lost your best receiver. Jaden Reed certainly wasn't into the game.
Well, I mean, right? Jaden Reed hasn't been in the season the last 4 or 5 weeks.
So I'm with Jen. I think this could be real ugly in Philly. But I put LaFleur on that list, too, because ultimately he is responsible for getting your team ready to play. And this team was not ready to play. And I'll tell you this, the Bears are not good.
No, very bad.
Offensively, they are not good. Caleb Williams is average at best. DJ Moore, he played like he was on vacation. I mean, he had that nice run for a touchdown, but you see him after he fumbles and he's laughing on the sidelines. He could give a crap. That was just it's a bizarre game.
Well, they just you want to talk about LaFleur? Like every coach responsible for something made a mistake. And made a huge mistake that contributed to them ultimately losing that game. Whether it was LaFleur calling the timeout when he did instead of wasting more time if you were going to kick a 55-yard field goal, whether it was Bisaccia and the trickery that the team fell for and wasn't ready for on the punt return, or it was Jeff Hafley inexplicably playing three safeties all the way back at the 25-yard line and just allowing the middle of the field to be wide open so the Bears can complete a pass, get into field goal range, and win the game. Like, everybody made
like
a fatal mistake.
It felt like the Jets at the beginning of the year. We just show up. We got MVP quarterback, Hall of Fame quarterback. All we got to do is show up. Well, you can't just show up. You can't just show up. They're not hot. How do you go from being the hottest team and I don't want to play them to 2 weeks later, like, oh,
this everybody wants to play this team.
I agree.
This is the team everybody wants to play.
I agree.
Yeah.
Like they've gone completely
opposite. Like I said, you lose your top guy on a non-contact, and I'm sure they're going to debate that all day, whether he should have been playing or not. This is going to be a tough one to recover from and go into Philly.
800-990-3776. That is our Carbless talk and text line. List is more. 800-990-3776. Reaction already rolling in fast and furious on the ESPN Milwaukee Carbless talk and text line. And phone lines lighting up. I believe there's frustration out there for Packers fans who hope that the Packers would not only continue their streak of success against the lowly Bears, but would also have some momentum, be riding high. Right? Be able to sort of look at some things that they did yesterday and go, see, that's what we do well. That's what we're going to ride. That's why teams should fear us. Is there anything out there right now, guys? And I'm asking you, loyal listeners, that people should fear the Packers for. 800-990-3776. Let's go out to Tim and Tosa, who is waiting patiently on the line. Tim, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning. Your reaction to yesterday's loss to the Chicago Bears.
Jen, you and I are always in step with emotions, and the same. We share the same anger, the same highs, the same lows. This team, I don't know, and it's more. So I look at this again. It's another example week, and I wanted your guys' thoughts on this. What is it? And it's more than just a fluke. It's more than just a bad string of things that Matt LaFleur clearly cannot get or does not get this team ready to go for a first half. There's enough bulletin board material to go, this team comes out flat almost every game, unprepared, and it's always catch up. You look at Minnesota, just go down. I mean, I'm not going to take up time doing that, but if you look at the span of this year, if they don't get themselves in all the holes that they get themselves in the first half, coming out flat and disoriented and just whatever, lackadaisical, that this team is winning a lot of games by more than a handful of margins. But every single week, it seems like we have to catch up by 15 points or 16 points or 21 points. And we're spotting these teams. So to me, that screams that LaFleur, as good as he is, borderline great to some people, he just is missing something fundamental that every week we have to go through this. The team has to go through this where they have to play catch up. They look flat. They look lost. They look like a high school team. And it's more than just a game or two or three. And I didn't know if you guys think this is a deeper issue, if this is just like he's starting to show some colors with the red flag, you know, 1-for-7. Hey, he got one. At least he's not shut out for the season. Approach and mentality. And that's frustrating. And the other thing is, real quick, you look back at the season, and the shining part of this coming out of the season with these wide receiving core is that really nobody stood alone. Nobody elevated themselves. So the only good thing when it comes to contract negotiations is that we don't have to pay somebody so much money. And then the only guy you are going to pay is Tucker Kraft. That dude shows up every single week and does his assignment. He's the only guy that shows up.
Yeah, but I saw the box score of Tucker Kraft because I was curious about how his numbers would shake out. What did he go, 4-of-7? He was targeted 7 times. Yep. I'm going to roll it up.
Yep.
7 times, caught 4.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's not on him.
Well, You're right. But again,
if Jordan Love or Malik Willis spikes
Tim
it at his
just
feet,
just said the value, the benefit, the silver lining is we don't have to pay anybody. My kingdom for somebody that they would pay.
Oh no, the
My
dream.
My kingdom the, for a wide receiver that they pay. Gabe.
Oh, the dream is that you draft somebody that you pay.
800-990-3776.
Every draft pick that you take, which is why yesterday I said on Green Bay Game Day, I've earmarked some of the $60 million they have in cap space for T. Higgins. I'm just earmarking that right now.
You're just manifesting.
I'm just going to, you know, like, we're just, you know, hey, I know we're a little ways away. Just let me bend the corner of that page there. I'm just going to put that little earmark and we can go back and check in on that later.
800-990-3776. Go ahead, Shu.
Huge part of the game was, and the Bears probably have the worst offensive line in all of the North. The dude still had time to throw.
Yep.
You know?
Well, Gabe's not surprised by that at all.
Yeah, I mean, no, come on, Chew. We know. I mean, just at the end of the day, this team doesn't have – it's something that I was concerned about at the beginning of the season, and it still exists to this day. They've got the youngest team in the league. Not any of them really developed into some of the guys that we thought they would be. And at the end of the day, they don't have enough blue-chip talent. There's not enough top-line talent on this roster to truly be one of the most feared in the NFC. Like, who?
So would you rather have a beast of a D-end, Gabe, or T. Higgins?
Well, T. Higgins is...
I'm telling you, they're going to roll it back. I'm telling you right now, are going to roll it back, and they're not going to do anything with this D-line.
Well, I mean, they're going to draft somebody. I think that's going to be pretty obvious. But, I mean, the problem is, Chew, like, I haven't done a deep dive into free agency yet. Like, I don't know if there's going to be a beast of a D lineman available.
They're not going to have money to pay one. Gave it all over Sean Gary.
Well, I mean, you're going to have $60 million in cap space.
Yeah, but are they going to dedicate that money elsewhere to the places that have holes or the one they paid and they believe in?
I don't know how much they actually believe in him. I mean, Halfley last week when he made the Pro Bowl, Halfley said what he had to say. I don't know if there was any actual emotion behind the words that Jeff Halfley had to say. Well, yeah, this guy sets the edge. Yeah, that's what we like. Yeah,
it's good in the run.
Yeah, sets the edge. That's what we pay guys for.
Bad confluence of events the week that Za'Darius Smith is named to the Pro Bowl and then also the defensive line struggles. And watching the Lions-Vikings game last night, flipping back and forth between that and the Golden Globes because, you know, I enjoy that element as well. And I love that the broadcast was saying, yes, they lost Aiden Hutchinson, but you know what they're doing? Those guys on the end, they're squeezing. They're squeezing in, and then that creates a pocket that is collapsing on Sam Darnold, and that's forcing him to get rid of the ball faster than he would want. And I was thinking to myself, what a concept. What a concept to squeeze those ends like that, Gabe, and actually get some pressure with four. Why have the Packers not been able to do that all season long? We got to continue.
They're not good enough.
We got to continue here.
Pretty simple answer.
800-990-3776. That, of course, is our Carbolist talk and text line. Let's go out to Jason in Hale's Corner. You're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy reacting to the loss yesterday.
Thank you for taking my call, guys. I really appreciate the show. You know, where does this team stand when it comes to their passion, their conviction, their, everything about it?
Is heart the word you're looking for this morning?
Yeah. Jimmy McGinley there, just pounding on his chest. Heart. We need heart.
You know, Julie, you were spot on last Friday when you said that we need to put a team like this away early. Once again, we didn't do that. We let him hang in there, and guess what? I don't know if you guys know, I don't know if you realize this or not, but if Chicago makes that same field goal in Chicago, we go 0-6 in the division. And I can tell you right now, you go 0-6 in the division, you're not lasting long in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I'm sorry, you're not, because right now as it stands, the division is what you got to win. And I am so ticked off at the same excuse that LaFleur says every week, week in, week out, I got to put my guys in a better situation. Well, start calling a better damn game. You come out, you have the 15-page scripted, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I think I'm going to go play Madden for a while and go that route. Yeah, no, it's like, come on, man. And then the one positive spot that I have to say for the whole year is this, Josh Jacobs. Thank you, Josh Jacobs, for at least putting some spark in this offense. The one last thing I have to say is, you know, on that last drive, if we don't get that horse collar, I think we win the game. Because I believe they're on the 15-yard line or something in that area. You know, so it's just like, come on, guys. Now you got to go play in Philadelphia, even though the game wouldn't have mattered if we won. Because obviously Washington did win. But for Pete's sakes, where's your passion? I know if Mike Holmgren was around.
Thank you, Jason.
Jason, appreciate the call. Appreciate that. We've got folks lining up on the Carbolist ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line and on the 800-990-3776. And I want to hear from everybody because I hear the frustration. And let me be clear one more time before we take our first break this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It is not losing to the Chicago Bears that has me all fired up this morning. It is that they looked like absolute caca doing it. Okay? If the Bears fall into a victory after the Packers go out there gangbusters in the first half and look like one of the best teams in the league and they pull their guys and the Bears figure out a way and they fall into a few scores, I don't care. I don't care. Because I would take that first half as proof of concept, proof of life, proof that they could hang with the top teams in the NFC and that maybe it would be a dogfight. You would actually get some life out of this team against Philadelphia next week. I don't see that. I don't see that at all right now. And that's what's making me dread this week and the potential matchup and the actual matchup that rather against the Philadelphia Eagles. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll on right after this. Keep your reaction coming in. We will get to it all this morning as we roll on.
X Golf Inside American Family Field, open off season year round. You need to go check out if you have not been to the X Golf Inside American Family Field because it is such a unique space overlooking left field inside the ballpark. You get to see inside the stadium with the huge glass paneling wall that they have on one side. Of course, they still have the 7 state-of-the-art simulators that X-Golf is known for. But what's great about X-Golf at American Family Field, it's such a big and unique space. It is that perfect spot for that next corporate event. So if you're thinking about hosting a corporate event, they can put on the games that you want and play and use the simulators, but also it's just such a unique space for everybody to go hang out, enjoy the great food, enjoy the great drinks. So book your next sim or learn more about booking that next corporate event, X-Golf, AmFamField.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Muy bueno.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jeff in the 920 weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line. I don't want to hear about next week, this team with Matt the Mouse in charge. He has been here for 6 years. He's horrible at clock management. He's a horrible motivator, and he panics in tight games. They lose 5 out of 6 division games. It's not going to get better with him as head coach. Some people turning on Matt LaFleur this morning as the Packers fall to the Bears yesterday at Lambeau Field, Week 18. Again, the outcome not really mattering. At one point in the game, late, Dallas was up. Packers were up, and I'm thinking, 6th seed, here we come. Will it be the Bucks? Will it be the Rams? Who can say? And then it was like, no, no, never mind, to Philly we go.
That's where, again, the defense, yeah, they took some strides, there was improvement, but it's the same old defense. I mean, how many times late in a game is this defense going to let them down? There's way too much this year.
They tried giving them the game, you know? That stupid call by, who threw that pass? DJ Moore?
Where oh, yeah. Keenan Allen. Grabs. It was Keenan Allen when he threw Keenan it right Allen. To right to Xavier.
Xavier McKinney.
Just the, yeah, know, right to him.
That's when I thought the game was over. I'm like, you know, they're going to win ugly, go down, score, and it's not what happened.
No,
well, they still had the opportunity. You're up.
Yeah.
And you just have to hold them with 54 seconds left, and you make a good special teams play where you pin them at the 20-yard line. Which I know is, you know, back when you played, Chewy, that was the original starting point. But in today's NFL, that's a hell of a stop. You're holding somebody at the 20-yard line on a kickoff return.
Yeah, confidence this time of the year is so important. This just feels like, to me, it feels like when we'd go to Dallas in the second round of the playoffs. And, you know, we'd win that first playoff game. And then we'd go and be like, I think we can win. Yeah, we can definitely, I think, maybe we can win. Yeah, they can win if the turnover margin is 4-0. Then they can win. Other than that, no. I mean, this is probably the worst place to go play.
Yep.
When it comes from a fan standpoint, they're going to be hungry. They smell blood in the water, so frustrating, very, very. But everyone shared. Jordan stunk.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Jordan was bad, LaFleur was bad, Halfley was bad, Bisaccia was bad. Everything.
I don't ever remember losing, and I may be wrong, I don't ever remember losing a game like this at home. I remember losing them on the road.
Okay.
Because like I said, you weren't prepared to play. But at home, no.
So I want to get to this Matt LaFleur sound, and to your guys' point about momentum and confidence and all of those things, Matt LaFleur said yesterday, this is like March Madness from here on out. Anything can happen. Okay, that's a clown statement at this point. I don't think the NFL playoffs are anything like March Madness. But I suppose if you want to do the one-time little Giants, I guess we can play that. Hope is not a strategy is what I've been taught. I want to hear from Matt LaFleur, though, when he talked about the path and what they need to do to have success in the postseason. Take a listen to Matt LaFleur yesterday talking about how they can have success against the Eagles.
Zero from here on out. And we got to try to do the things that we feel like we can have some success with and really lean into that. And we know it's going to be a great challenge. Philly's a hell of a team, and they do it really in every phase of the game, offensively, defensively, and on special teams.
What would that entail? What do the Packers do well? What can they hang their hat on that would give them some sense of confidence, that would give them some sense of superiority over their opponents going forward, Chu? What do you look at? What do you highlight? What are we spotlighting when Matt LaFleur says that to the media? What comes to mind?
The only thing it is running the ball. That's it.
Well, and
but then I look and I'm like, they won't even have the advantage in this game because they have Saquon Barkley.
But shockingly, Chu, shockingly,
yeah,
they've actually been good at stopping the run.
Yes.
They're fifth in the league in yards against the run. They've been really good against the run. And again, it's a different task when you're, you know, going from DeAndre Swift and last week Aaron Jones, who's still a very good back. It's a different level going to Saquon Barkley. But running the ball and stopping the run are the two things that they really do well. And that's the foundation of any offense that wants to be really good. They want to start by running the football and then go from there. Any foundation of a defense that wants to be good stops the run and then goes from there.
Okay, I'm going to woo-saw my way through this game because, yes, on paper, those are things that the Packers have done well this season. But is there any part of you that thinks that they will do them well enough against Philadelphia this weekend, especially if you're one-dimensional, especially if you are resigned to only running the ball? Feels like Philadelphia's a pretty good team. It feels like they're a really good defense, and they can try, if they know that that's your thing that you do well, to shut it down.
Yeah, I mean, every defense knows that the Packers want to run the football. They've still had success. I mean, again, is it going to be good enough to win? Probably not. But you've got that baseline of, you asked, what do they do well? What are they going to try to hang their hat on? Those are the two things they're going to try to hang their hat on and try to build off of if they want to have any sort of chance against Philadelphia. Those are the two things.
But here's the problem. What are you going to play, man or zone this week? What are you going to play, man or zone? Because if you play man,
yep,
then that brings Jalen Hurts into the ball game because that means defenders' backs are to him and he can torch you.
Well, what did they do week one? What did they do week one when these two teams faced off?
I mean, the Packers don't really play man, hardly. The other thing they do well is running quarterbacks. They've been good against them pretty much all year. That's like one of their stronger suits, is keeping people in front of them. Largely in part, that's Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper, because they are so damn fast and athletic. That's been an advantage.
All right. All right, we're building something here. We're building something, Joshy.
I'm running out. I'm already looking at kicker. I'm already starting to think, that kicker's been good.
Well, I mean, 55 yards, rock hard in the cold. Yeah.
I'd like that to be number 10 on the list, if I could, but...
Yeah, I mean, hey, well, you know, we're just stacking right now. If he's number 3 right now, he's number 3.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to the Carbless Talk and Text line. Greg in Kenosha, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Reaction to not just the Packers' loss, but your confidence level going into the playoffs this week.
Good morning, everybody. First of all, this is 100,000,000% on Matt LaFleur. And you know what? I have no confidence. Zero. If you look at what he says every single game, we got to do better. We got to do better. We got things we got to fix. It's every single game. Look in the mirror, Matt LaFleur. You're making boneheaded time decisions as far as running the clock. Boneheaded all season long. You're challenging things that you have no chance of even getting that challenge overturned, but you're still doing it because you're trying to be in the player's favor of saying, oh, he's a nice guy, he's got my back. You don't do that. You win the darn game, period. Your play calls are crap. You're not calling the right plays as far as certain things. There's just so much, and it goes so much deeper than that, Jen. And Chewy, it goes back to drafting. Why are we drafting all these guys that have great upside in the first round? Number 13, Van Ness. What the hell are we thinking? Sorry about my language. I'm sorry. But I have passion.
You're good. You're clear.
You know, and you know what? That's another thing. Where's the passion with all these guys? Where, Chewy, you were out there. Where is the passion for these players? Yeah. There is no passion. There is no heart. There is no desire to want to win. They're getting their paycheck. That's all they care about. The game is over. They look like crap. They're smiling, high-fiving the Bears and all that kind of stuff, giving hugs. I understand your ex-teammates in college and things like that. I get that. But you know what? There's a time and a place for it, not there.
Appreciate the call, Greg. 800-990-3776 if you want to get in on the carbless talk and text line here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Man, I got a lot of reaction. I got a very, very full carbless talk and text line here. I'll try to pick some of your reaction after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know how much we love Palermo's Pizza here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And let's face it, it should just be stocked in your freezer at all times. Whether it's a busy week, you get home, don't have time to make dinner, yet you still want something that tastes great, you can always pop in a Palermo's Pizza. And the great thing about Palermo's is they have so many different brands, they will have a slice that fits your appetite. Whether we're talking about Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, Artisan Crust, Thin Crust, Thick Crust, they have all different flavors ready for you. And how do they do this? I mean, that's so many different brands under the Palermo's umbrella because they've been doing it for 60 years right here in Wisconsin, so they know a thing or two about premium frozen pizza. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Jay Ian Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting.
Oh, lady.
The Broncos, Burma? The last
2 weeks.
You guys done?
I got more.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We do have some very conscientious and aware Packers fans out there who are saying Gabe has been banned from going to games as fans. You're not allowed. Not a good first game for Gabe as a fan yesterday. That from Brent in the 715.
Well, it wasn't my first game ever as a fan. It was my first game since 2010.
That's quite a while.
Hold on. Is it your first loss?
Oh, no. No, not my first loss at Lambeau, no. Not even my first loss against the Bears at Lambeau.
Since 2010, you're aware that that's 15 years, right? That's a long time.
I mean, it was December of 2010, so 14 years.
800-990-3776. Reaction still rolling in on the Carbless Talk and text line. Let's go out to Benji in Milwaukee reacting to not just the loss to the Chicago Bears, because again, I can forgive that if the Packers played gangbusters in the first half and then put all of their second stringers in the second half and the Bears fell into a victory. What I cannot support is looking like caca the entire time you had your starters out there and allowing the Bears to leave with the dub. Go ahead, Benji.
Thank you guys for taking my call. Totally agree with you. Listen, the Bears were going to win one eventually. Fine, happens when all our starters are out, whatever. But generally speaking, the team just hasn't looked that great all year. And it's like, that's kind of why I'm surprised about the frustration from all your fans this morning. It's like, we're acting as if like we're some unbelievable team, some powerhouse that like hasn't been stopped. Like, no, we just like haven't really been getting it done. So I agree. I'm not very optimistic. I think we could get it done in Philly. But my question is, looking forward, like, what do we do, right? Do we tackle the wide receivers? As great as that sounds to me, our organization doesn't do that. Like, do we tackle the D-line? Is it O-line gaps? Like, I don't even know. I think there's way more holes than we think. So I'm just curious about what your guys' thoughts are. Happy Monday. Thank you for taking my call.
No, I mean, I think there are three significant holes right now. And we talked about those even last week. It's wide receiver one, right? It's having a top-of-the-line wide receiver, somebody that you can go to and trust. It's the defensive line as a whole, and it's the cornerback position, especially if you move on from Jair. Like, those are the three major holes that exist on this roster.
Yeah, thank God they're not important positions on the field either, you know? It's like filling a fullback. D-line, receiver, and cornerback. I mean, for the hell of it, I just went back, I don't know, this weekend and just wanted to see how many free agents or what's Detroit going to have to do in the offseason, and they don't have a lot. Could you imagine if Detroit was healthy on defense this year? You might as well hand them the trophy, and that's the problem. Because I thought it would be Green Bay trending to be the next San Francisco, you know, a la 3-4 years ago. But it's really not. It's Detroit, and they have smart people running the show. I don't know how much money they have, but Detroit's going to be there for a while. And Green Bay's got to play catch-up to them. And Goody can't swing and miss. You know, he can't swing and miss. And this receiver group, was a development thing. We didn't think all four or five of them would become really, you know, good players. But we certainly thought two of them would be.
How about one of them?
I mean, what was Dobbs?
How about just one of them, Jew? I'd settle for one.
And the problem is this. Your best one in Christian Watson, if he did tear his ACL, he ain't going to be ready next year.
No.
He ain't going to be ready next year. So now you have a bigger problem. I don't know if it's a development thing, but these receivers certainly did not get better.
Well, I'll
the same, or some of them got worse.
Let's just do this. For all the youth on this team from a year ago to this year, who do we think definitively is better in year two than they were in year one?
Tucker Kraft.
That's about it, right? I mean, Edgerrin Cooper was great this year, right? I think Quay at times showed, but then he had the injury, so it's hard to definitively say Quay Walker is better than he was a year ago.
Carrington Valentine?
Yeah, it's just... When do they have to pay?
You didn't seem too confident in that, Josh.
Wait. Who gave up that play at the end of the game? Wasn't it Valentine?
That was him, but it was the call.
He was playing the way the defense was.
He was playing outside leverage, had no help over the middle. It was a... Jeff Hafley got... And that's the...
He hung his corner out to dry. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's happened to him
a few
times.
The reason he did that is because they didn't have a timeout and he didn't feel that they would have enough time to go and clock the ball.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's just time. Again, that's not realizing how much time was left.
Yeah. You have that sound where he talks about the 12 seconds, 15 seconds, 3 seconds yesterday? We'll see if we can find that, because Matt LaFleur did try to explain why they were playing for the boundary in that situation instead of covering the middle of the field, because he thought that's what the Bears were doing. And yet, when you do it, the math doesn't math, right?
Mm-hmm. With how much time was actually left, correct. Yes, because when the Bears...
I'd love to be in that locker room today, just to see what the flavor is. You know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. So 15 seconds was what was left when they took the snap. 15 and seconds.
Matt LaFleur said he knows it takes 12 to make that play, leaving 3 seconds left on the clock, which meant that they...
made a mistake.
it's an oopsie poopsie. That's what it is. Let's hear from Matt LaFleur talking about the end of the game. I know, Josh, you were efforting that 15-second, 12-second, 3-second one, but let's hear from him at the end of the game, number 6 on our sheet.
And then at the end of the game, that's squarely on me. Just got caught in a situation where we're planning on going for it, and they felt like Brandon could make that field goal, and hindsight's 20/20. I wish I wouldn't have taken the time out, because it gave him obviously way too much time to go down and operate. So, like I told the team, I mean, that's on me. That can't happen.
But I mean, again, it's just a stacking, because I'm guessing if they get 0 yards there, he goes, okay, we're going to kick the field goal. Because they lost yardage on third down. Do I want to kick this? So then he calls timeout, and it ends up being the wrong decision, because then they end up kicking the field goal. Yeah, because the obvious thing that happened there, you call the timeout because you're going to go for it, and then he got convinced to kick the field goal.
Do you think they were looking forward to the coaches? Like, we're better than this team. Let's just put a regular game plan. Let's jump on Philly.
I hope not, man. I hope not.
It certainly felt like it.
You mean like vanilla? Like putting vanilla out there so that there wasn't anything on film for the postseason?
Look at what we did last time. Tweak it a little bit, but hey, let's get a jump on Philadelphia tape.
Yeah, I mean,
it certainly felt that way to me.
There was certainly some of that, too, and I think you can make that argument after, because Josh Jacobs was taken out after 6 carries.
Yeah. Here's the thing. They can beat that team with that approach. They just can't play like Kaka, as Janet said 1,000 times. Like, you could go out there, line them up, and just do your basics and beat that team, but that team didn't show up. What? The team capable of that kind of game.
Then they should have just gone, hey, this is going to be a backup game. Let's get these guys in. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and focus up. Because then maybe they still win that game if that's the approach that they take.
And maybe Christian Watson doesn't.
Tried to middle it.
Have the
tried to have the best of both worlds.
100%. Fence. Mm-hmm. Right? Pick a side. One or the other. Maybe you're not in this situation. Again, maybe then you chalk it up to, hey, we might lose this game. But we get some reps for some guys. We get some tape on some guys. We see who we can continue to develop, who has a future with our franchise, and who we have to kind of part ways with. Again, if that's your goal, if that's the the initiative that you go in with, fine. That wasn't what they did. Matt LaFleur said he went out there because they had looked so bad the week before. They needed to put a good game plan together. They needed to play well because he believes in momentum. He believes in needing to have some confidence rolling, to have some good juju to go into a tough postseason run where you're the seven, potentially the six when they were making that decision seed. 800-990-3776, reaction rolling in fast and furious on the Carbless talk and text line. We will continue to get to that. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll get to you right after this break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tune in to Behind the Bucks and the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into Bucks and Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings, taking a look inside the Brandon Jennings story and the origin of Bucks and Six, how it became a rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Behind the Bucks is on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A freaking catapult attached to his right hip. Like, I just made that up. A catapult.
That was good.
I kind of liked it. I was rolling with it, Rob.
Like a slingshot?
I'm calling old catapult leg from here on out.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Is upping its game in a major move for all sports bettors out there. You can now use your Potawatomi Rewards card at most of the self-service kiosks and at the betting counter. Bet on your favorite sports and earn reward points along the way. Now that is a winning play. Bet above the rest. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook. Speaking of sports books, Joshy, what did we say the line is for Packers versus Eagles this week?
Started at 3.5 and climbed up to 4.5 last night at some point.
Eagles favored by 4.5. Let's go out to the Carbless phone line. Mo in Illinois waiting patiently on the line. Mo, your reaction to not just the loss, but your confidence level for this Green Bay Packers
team. 5.5.
Whoa!
What? Oh, it just moved to 5.5?
It's up to 5.5 now.
Oh, Mo, 5.5 now. What do you think?
5.5 is very generous. I was at the game yesterday. I lost my voice. This team is pathetic. I've been saying all along, all season long, there's just something that I don't believe in this team. I don't believe in Matt LaFraud. I have lost total confidence in him. The issue with the offense that I see is it seems like ever since the bye week, Matt LaFleur has really struggled to kind of mesh the passing game with the run game. Like, I have no issues with the offense going through Josh Jacobs. It should, right? He's the guy that sets the tone from the start, and he needs to get his carries. But I feel like Matt LaFleur gets too run-happy sometimes where he doesn't incorporate those early down play-action passes. And that's where I see that the passing game has really been affected. It's non-existent. It's putrid. And the receivers are not getting open. Yesterday, I'm at the game. I'm paying close attention to the receiver separation. There's no separation. And there's a reason Jordan Love is holding on to that ball, fighting for dear life. And the thing I'll say about the special teams, boy, oh boy, the special, you got Rich Bisaccia, who's getting paid all that money to coach probably the worst unit in football. I mean, an eighth grade football team could play better than those boys did out there yesterday. That was horrific. And seeing it in person was even more horrific. I mean, you got Bears coming down. There's like three of them getting ready to wallop the Packers returning guy Jaden Reed. So this team's a mess. I have no confidence. I'm already preparing for one and done. I don't think anyone should expect a win or for them to come remotely close. And it's on to next season. There's a lot of work to do for this team.
Appreciate the call, Mo. I will tell you this. The reaction that I am seeing on the YouTube stream and on the Carbless talk and text line is mostly frustration, like I had coming in this morning and still have. It's not like it's gone away. It's not like it has dissipated over the last 55 minutes. But Charles weighing in saying, what's up with all the negative? This is a great team that can beat anyone in the NFL. We've been down this road before in 2010. What happened that year? Man, I can't do that anymore. I cannot hang my hat or convince myself that just because a Packers team 15 years ago, went on a hot run with a MVP future Hall of Fame quarterback and a litany, a long list of talented wide receivers, Gabe. I can't convince myself that because they did it that year.
That was an 8-4 team that was well on their way and already starting to trend. Rodgers gets a concussion, basically misses all of one game, has to set out another, and then they won their last two games of the season. Like, that's not at all what just happened here, is the Packers just lost their last two games of the season to fall to the seventh seed.
Did we see the Dobbs inactive coming?
No, I didn't.
So, tummy ache. Yeah, Saturday he was added to the injury report with an illness. So,
he's got the rotavirus.
Whatever's been going around, I think, is what he ended up getting.
Dobbs.
Here's the problem for this game, and Philly's going to look at the Minnesota game when they didn't have Watson, so they could go to a different coverage because they didn't have to worry about anyone taking the top off of the defense.
Oh, you just played man-to-man.
Already, yeah, Vikings played a lot of man, didn't they?
Yep.
Yeah, but I mean, this is the number one defense in the NFL who creates pressure with four, which allows them to do certain things. So LaFleur, it just seems like his scheming guys open, and I know it's the end of the season. You know, you can only do so much when you're trying to do that, but he seems like he's been a little flat as of late. There's not a lot of wild plays. Yay or nay?
Yeah, I think that's part of it, and part of it's also the way, I mean, Jordan's been playing. There were a couple of guys, the pass that he had to Musgrave, like, Musgrave was pretty wide the bleep open. Like, get that ball up in the air where he doesn't have to slide down and catch it to the point where the officials thought he trapped it. Get that thing in the air, hit it up, and he's going to be able to catch and, well, presumably run. I think he's over the I have the ball in my hands, I can now stay on my own 2 feet thing. I think he overcame that last year. But it's, I mean, it's kind of everything. Because, yeah, at times there are guys open. Jordan doesn't see them. Then there are other times where nobody's open, so Jordan has to eat the ball. It's just nothing's in sync right now.
And I will say, the thing that, too, I wanted to see from Jordan Love was his ability to go out there early, right? We've talked about how, Jordan, why can't you start playing at a high level in the first half of the game? Why does it always take you guys with your backs against the wall and you got to score on this drive in order to keep this game competitive, in order to keep the Packers in it? And then you sort of see the 10 completions in a row from Jordan Love. And I wanted to see that in the first half. He didn't have the opportunity in the second half because of the injury, obviously. So it was imperative to show that he could go out there and they could put together some solid drives, some productive drives early on. And I didn't see it. I just didn't see it from Jordan Love.
Yeah, he's just because, Gabe, we did the All-22,
Boom.
And I was pretty hard on him, and it's clear that he's not seeing things. There was one play in there. It's like he's looking off a safety that's already removed on a slant, and I think it was Jaden Reed was wide open early, and I can't understand what he's doing because the defense already gave you what you wanted, and he doesn't see it. So is he like a hitter, Gabe? Is he like...
Yeah, he's seeing the curveball pitch. He's not picking up the seams on the slider.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Doesn't
to the
it feel like that a little bit? Yeah.
I mean, did I think of that? No, but I'm also not a deep thinker like you are. So this is, is the reason why...
Stop it. You're encouraging him like you are.
Is there any part
Bad
of,
behavior.
Is there any part of anyone that feels maybe we're slightly overreacting?
No!
Hear me out. Mo, who just called, sound depressed as I've ever heard that guy. Like, 6 weeks ago, it sounded like he was on the team and ready to go out there and knock some heads off with the rest of them. Now Matt LaFleur is a fraud? Like, Matt LaFleur, remember what he did with Malik Willis when everyone was counting him out? Like, yeah, they haven't been great.
But that's the thing about this
young.
League. You
They're
can't
inconsistent.
Be static.
This
you can't
team
be
is,
static.
This team is in a rebuild. Like, things haven't been great. I understand that. You would love to beat the Bears. But isn't there a piece of you that's like, this team's probably still ahead of schedule? They were 11-6. Are we talking about a 9-8 football team here? Like, there is an aspect of, yeah, they're probably a little bit better than we're giving them credit for, and they laid an absolute egg to end the season, and it feels really bad because it's the Bears. But Matt LaFleur, like, we're calling him a fraud. Matt LaFleur, fraud? What do you want out there? You want to go hire Doug Peterson? Is
He's
that
available.
What you want?
He's available
he
now.
Is.
But, Josh, it does feel like just step back a little bit.
They're a better team than they were last year. Like, it just doesn't feel the same at the end of the season heading into the playoffs, and now they're facing down a team that everyone thinks is much better. But like,
yeah, but you had a couple hang your hat wins. You had Kansas City hang your hat, you had Detroit hang your hat, and then you had Dallas hang your hat. What's a hang your hat this year? There's no coat rack.
Man, I think it's called a coat rack. For hanging hats.
I mean, you're going to go back to Houston when Houston was banged up and say, great win. Yeah, great win.
Yeah, everybody's banged up. We're doing the retroactive, like, you would have loved to beat one of your division teams. It just so happens your division is the best one of all time.
Well, but see, I think that's where a lot of the, like, sinking your stomach kind of comes from. Because Chewy pointed out, like, I mean, Detroit's not going anywhere next year. It's not like they've got, you know,
correct.
It's not like Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon Ross St. Brown and Jameson Williams are all free agents and they got to make a decision, right? Like, those guys aren't going anywhere and it's going to be hard to match that level of talent.
Do you think Brian Gutekunst looks at this team and says, finished product, we're there?
No.
Or do you think he thought that before
not.
The season?
But I also think, like, and look, I love where you're coming from. I love this idea of the Packers are better than we are reacting to this morning, and they probably are. But then you have to roll in there. Jordan Love injured. Could have gone back in. I know. Jordan Love gets hurt, though. The Christian Watson thing looms large. Mm-hmm. And I know there seems to be differing opinions of Christian Watson's value on this team. I saw a bunch of it yesterday. Like, he's a bum. He's injury prone. Get rid of him. Cut him. Don't need him. I still think Christian Watson has immense value on this team. And I think he makes your offense even that much more one-dimensional if he's gone for the year. If you've lost him for the year, you are that much more one-dimensional, which gives the opponent, Philly in this case, an easier row to hoe. You know, you don't have, if our criticisms mm-hmm. are as follows. If our criticisms are Jaden Reed struggles in man coverage, what should Philly do against Jaden Reed? Cover him man to man. If the criticism is they're going to ride Josh Jacobs, what should Philly do? Load the box. If the criticism, like, who's going to stretch the field? Who's going to be that? Is it going to be Tucker Kraft? Do they start rolling him in and expecting him to be a safety blanket, a safety valve for, I don't know, but that's where I start to be pessimistic about the likelihood of them hanging with Philadelphia. And then you have a one-and-done season. You have a one-and-done in the postseason. You go in as the seventh seed. You made it as tough as possible for yourself with the games that you lost this year and the way that the division shook out and everything like that. That's where I just sit here and go, I don't think the team got better. I don't. It doesn't feel like, did they add pieces where they should have been better?
Feel.
They should have been more exponentially better this year than I think we saw on the field.
Yeah, I think we just fast-forwarded our beliefs because of what happened at the end of the season. I think we got a sense of a team that was way ahead of where they were. Am I disappointed that they're likely going to be one and done? Yes, for sure. I thought the team's ceiling, though, was probably an NFC championship game. And falling mm-hmm. short of that sucks, but you're not one of the four best teams. Well, shoot. That's the reality of the NFL. Not a lot of teams are.
There's
28 other teams.
They're not one of the four best teams in the NFC. And that's so they've got a lot longer road to hoe going forward.
They're definitively worse than Philly,
yep.
Detroit,
yep.
Minnesota, and
yep.
you're going to put someone above them?
I mean, they're the seven seed, man.
Yeah, because are the other teams better? The other two that are in the playoffs?
Let me ask you this, Joshy. If they went head to head with Washington today, who would you take?
Packers. What about Washington instills any sort of confidence? They barely beat Trey Lance.
Well, yeah, but they also sat their guys.
Yeah.
They were playing Marcus Mariota. Like, who cares? That was a preseason game. Like, they beat the Eagles. Like, they've got the Eagles in their division. They went and they beat the Eagles.
Great.
You know? So, I mean, that's not anything the Packers did this year.
Who's favored in that game?
If it's, where is it? Neutral site? Okay, so the Packers are favored by what, a point?
Yeah. Better team.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, but here's the problem, Joshy. What fan base feels better? Because they didn't play it again. Because being good to Washington right now is fine. Being good to Packers fans is not. We measure ourselves by Super Bowls, and we're still, we got a road to hoe? Hoe to road?
Road to hoe.
Which one is it? Is it road to hoe?
You're the farmer in this group. How do you not know road to hoe?
Yeah, this seems like it
we
should be
We got a road
here.
To hoe.
Should be.
Why do farmers right leave trees in their fields again?
So they can eat lunch in the shade. That's a true statement.
It's true-ish. It's true adjacent. There is
I believe in you, big guy.
Truth.
Thank you.
It.
I got your back.
Reaction rolling in fast and furious this morning. We will continue getting to Packers fans' reaction to not just the Bears' loss. It is not just that. It is your confidence level going into the game against Philadelphia. And Matt LaFleur says we got to do the things that we do well. We got to hang our hat on the things we do well. What exactly is that? Let us know. Fill us in. Right after this.